Hallelujah. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because it is a great night to die. To yourself. Oh, glory. Glory. Let's pray for Israel. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your people that you have predestined. And we ask, Lord, for peace, protection, favor, and victory to Israel, your people. And that you would rescue those who have been taken by deception and captivity of the enemy. And that you would grant repentance to those who are coming against your nation, your word, and your people. In Jesus' name. You know, war is not created because of hatred. War is created because of deception. Everything that is established to bring disaster in an area between humans is because of the area of deception. Deception will bring offense and anger and hatred, and deception will put an individual in captivity. Deception will steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. So in the area of deception, we have to be careful that we don't fall into that weapon, because it is Satan's greatest weapon is deception. Amen? Are we okay? Praise God. And in this, we're seeing such a great move of the enemy and a great move of God resisting and standing up to break off this area of deception. You know, there is a hatred established in the kingdom of darkness, and there's a righteous anger in the kingdom of light. And these are two different things. One wants to kill, the other one wants to rescue. One wants to expose and rescue. We have a righteous anger against the enemy, not against people. Although sometimes there's a frustration of why that individual is constantly taken under deception. And in this, it is our responsibility to constantly bring light and truth. You know, one of the things that people are looking for, we know, is the truth and God's presence and his power. And it's not just the area of looking for that. They're actually looking for home. And we've discussed some of this before, because ever since we've been into this, brought into this realm, we've been looking for home. Unfortunately, we thought the presence of home was in a bottle and a needle and a cigarette and a bed and so forth. And pride and success and all these other things. Because the enemy always likes to infiltrate. He likes to imitate the things of God. He's the greatest imitator. He's a counterfeiter. And so he counterfeits many things of God to try to deceive God's people. And one of the things that's vitally important, and I truly believe that right now, even in this country, people believe in that they're right. So they believe that they're right in their belief system. Even though if their belief system is incorrect, they believe that they're right. And a flawed belief system will promote a flawed perception. And this is one of the deceptions of the enemy, so that he can implement a belief system. Religion is a belief system. Religion was one of Satan's greatest accomplishments, which caused much division, because God is not about religion. He's about kingdom business. And you and I should be kingdom business, regardless of what it is. We are kingdom business. We are kingdom people. It's all about the kingdom of God, not about ourselves. Amen. And so in this, there is an area where when individuals fall into a state of self-righteousness or their own belief system and not truth or practicing truth, it opens the door to the enemy, and people become puppets of darkness. And so one of the things that has to happen is it's the priority of the body of Christ to, again, bring light and truth. And by bringing light and truth in hope that it will cause repentance. And there is a place of true repentance. And the word repent means to turn away from. Turn away from evil. Turn away from idols. The reason why we repent is it activates, and when we repent, we confess our sins. It activates the blood of Christ because it is the ministry of the Spirit. And the word Spirit means breath. Also, of course, it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. So nothing is activated in the new covenant without speaking it. You don't activate something by thinking it. You activate it by speaking it. You activate the weapons of God by speaking them, not by thinking them. And in so, by the activation of the blood of Christ, which washes us, cleans us, and also removes from us darkness, sin. We repent. Lord, forgive me. It's amazing in how many people have come to Christ in repentance and have never repented again, thinking that they're okay. One of the things that is required in repentance is honesty. Honesty. You must be honest, not only with yourself, with others, but most definitely before God. Because if you're not honest with yourself and with others, you are not honest with God. That's the first thing that will remove the presence of God, is when people practice dishonesty or lying. The word tells us when you know what to do is right and don't do it, it's sin. So in this is an area where we must always be honest. We must examine ourselves to realize whether we're walking in honesty. It doesn't mean we won't make a mistake, but when we make a mistake, we repent. We ask for God's forgiveness. And in this, we are washed by the blood. But there's an area of true repentance. It doesn't mean that you go out every Friday night and drink and party, and then every Sunday you go to church and repent. That is repetitive. It is not forgiven until true repentance, turn away, comes. I remember in my own circumstances, I was an addict for over 20 years, and I came to a point of saying, you know what, I don't want to live this way anymore. And I tried everything I could. And when I began to cry out to God, and God said, do you want a new life or do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol? And of course, I needed a new life. And he said, show me. And the first thing that came to me was, be honest. Be honest. Be honest. And I began to ask for forgiveness. Be honest. See, if you're not a person that's willing to repent for your sins, you're not a person that will be honest. And again, if you're not in an area of honesty, you're not a person that's going to repent. If you're self-seeking, you will not repent. And in this, God is requiring, look at, this country is in so much turmoil because it is divided because there is a left and a right. It's not about political. The Bible says that God will separate the left and the right. The left are goats, the rights are sheep. But the Bible also tells us that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. But God knows who they are, doesn't he? Nothing is hidden from him. And he uses things to train his children. Or there wouldn't be any demons on the earth. They'd be all in the hell. But there's demonic forces, there's principalities, powers of darkness, and wickedness in heavenly places that we are battling against. But in this battle, it is training. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit to heal those who've been oppressed by the devil, and he left his body. And I think sometimes so many people look at a body as just a church building with people in it. But the body of Christ is a living organism. And it is a living organism with the anointing, the presence, the Spirit of God, and the weapons and the sword of the Spirit, so that we can continue to battle. The Bible tells us that we are to expose our enemies. And God will bring you through trials and tribulations to expose your own enemies, not to run from them. You must expose them, because if you don't, God will. And when he has to expose you, it's because you weren't willing to repent and turn from your way. And when that happens, you lose the trust of God. And if you truly have a relationship with the Lord, your desire is not to lose his trust. Your desire is to gain his trust, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to gain his trust. And the first thing you must do is be honest. In Jeremiah chapter 8, in verse 4. Jeremiah 8, 4. Is everybody there? Praise God, and we're going to speak this together. Jeremiah 8, 4. Moreover, you shall what? Say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem is in perpetual backsliding. Why are they in perpetual backsliding? They didn't repent and turn. They hold fast to what? Deceit or desire. They refused to return. I listened and heard, but they did not speak aright. No man what? Repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? What have I done? See, people begin to compare themselves with other people to justify what they're doing. God doesn't compare you to people. He compares you to his truth and justice. Saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own what? Course, as a horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens know their appointed times. And the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. That's pretty crazy. No repentance of wickedness. They refused to turn to the Lord. And they couldn't see their own sin, nor the coming of the judgment of God. And I'm telling you, that's what's happening in this country. And this is what's happening even in the areas of people in the body of Christ. Self-justification. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. They are calling good evil and evil good. We're seeing many things escalate. And we must maintain alertness and soberness and unity. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 13. Verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Now listen. If a person is not honest with themselves, they cannot humble themselves. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. So when is God here? When you turn. Amen. And will forgive their sin and heal their land. Powerful. And that's what God is requiring right now. that this country come to true repentance, that the body of Christ come to true repentance. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel 14. We will be flying through the scriptures tonight. Ezekiel 14 and verse 4. Speak it with me, please. Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are estranged from me by their what? By their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, what? Repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Wow. And I will set my face against that man or woman and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Idols. People do not repent because of idols. They think it's just okay. So many times people just think an idol is some kind of statue or something that they worship. No, you could be the worst idol. You. Myself. Idols. Idols can be our loved ones. You can have a desire that's more important to you than anything, and that can become an idol. All kinds of things can become idols, because an idol will always cause you to lose your first love. An idol will always promote lies. It's a promoter of lies. The idols are not honest. They promote lies. Why? Because you're willing to fight for the idol instead of fight for God. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Verse 29. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. Oh, see, things just are not fair. Welcome to the earth. Life isn't fair. Hello. Oh, house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn from all your transgressions so that the iniquity will not be to your ruin. Wow. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a what? A new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die? O house of Israel, for I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. So he says, get a new heart and a new spirit. I'm telling you, what begins to happen is, in the area where it says new, it also represents restored. You know, when people want to be healed, so many times they're looking to be healed. But actually, they're needing to be restored. So a liver may go bad after a period of time, a kidney or whatever it may be, an organ or something happens, a leg's broke. What it needs is restored to its original healthy condition. So many times we're asking, Lord, heal me. And instead of asking him, Lord, restore it. Restore it. It is the ministry of restoration, isn't it? When things happen in marriages and so forth and in businesses and in relationships, people are saying, Lord, heal it, when it should be, Lord, restore it. You know, but restore it according to your way, not our own. Amen? So he says, repent and get a new heart or a new spirit. Of course, you must turn first. Turn. We must say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And turn and repent. In Matthew 4. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. 4:12, let's speak it together. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, turn from the ways of the world and come into the kingdom of God. Come into the kingdom that's eternal and don't go back to the ways of the world. See, this is true repentance. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 9. Let's speak it together. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why? Because without repentance you will perish. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. But the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness what? Righteousness what? Dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are sometimes hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be both now and forever. Amen. So he desires that all come to repentance. Again, this is not an area you say, oh Lord, forgive me and go back to what you were doing. This is an area I'm choosing to turn from the ways of the world, from the character of the world, and turn to the ways of the kingdom. In Romans 2. So you must ask yourself then, am I about the kingdom business or self business? Romans 2 verse 1. Let's speak it together. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man or woman, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in a day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continue in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of a man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality in God. In John chapter 8. So it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So he gives us the opportunity to turn away. John chapter 8. Verse 1. John 8, verse 1, let's speak it together. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such be stoned. But what do you say?" And they said, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And so when they continued asking him, he raised up himself, and he said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and a woman standing in the midst. In other words, he was expressing something that it's you and God. It doesn't matter what people say. Only you stand before him. Only you. And when Jesus raised himself up and he saw no, and when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." See, there was a difference here. She called him Lord. She didn't say scribe or rabbi or sir. She called him Lord. In other words, "I am submitting under your authority." And in so doing this, Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go in what? Sin no more." In other words, don't do the same thing again. Don't open yourself to the enemy. So he was expressing to her true repentance because her heart was broken. When she stood before Jesus and saw what had happened, she had already turned and said, "I don't want to live this way anymore," and chose to submit under the rule and the authority of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Go and sin no more." In 1 John chapter 1, go and sin no more, America. You might must turn from your ways of promotion of death to innocent children that are in the womb. You must turn your ways to the perversion of same-sex marriage. You must turn your ways from lying. Lying. Do you know, I had looked up something because something was on my heart. And I looked up about the Quran. Now, the Quran condemns lying, but then there's certain areas that promote it and says it's okay to lie for the goodness. Has everybody got it? For the goodness of the Quran or the Muslim belief, it's okay to lie. So if it's okay to lie, then God's got nothing to do with that. The true God. Not at all. Because the Bible tells us that the God of this earth is known as the father of hell. And there's no truth in him. And he was a liar from the beginning. But the true God does not promote any lies whatsoever. He promotes honesty. And I, for some reason, I was just led to it, and I'm thinking, wow, because so many times there's such a difference, and people don't understand. How many politicians stand up and lie for their position? How many individuals lie to protect themselves? Lying is an area that likes to protect fear. Yeah. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? All sins. Because if you are truly walking in the light, you are an individual that repentance is the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you blow it. Forgive me. Again, you can't put something under the blood that's not the will of God unless it's been repented for. And again, repent means to what? Turn away. So if you're not turning away from what is not God's will and you're saying, oh Lord, forgive me, but it's under the blood, are you forgiven? No. Is everybody okay? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that righteousness can be expressed through each and every one. Again, we must maintain a state of honesty. Complete honesty. And when you blow it, who cares? You repent. Why? Because it's going to be you and God. No attorney. Your pastor's not going up there with you and standing next to you. Yeah, well, I were a good person. I did all of these nice things. No, it ain't going to work that way. Your parents won't go up there. Your boss won't go up there and tell Jesus, what a good job you did at work. It doesn't work that way. Or how you took care of your family. Or what a good provider you were. Or what a good husband you were. Or what a good wife you were. Or what a good mother you were. Or what a good father you were. Sin is sin. I knew a young lady who was joyful in her pregnancy, but it was committed out of adultery. I could not rejoice with her sin. There was no repentance there. None. Not even a consideration that she might have offended God. And I had to turn away. I don't associate with darkness. And neither should we. But I pray she will come to the light and be freed. But there are many out there. I get calls from believers. People thinking that fornication is okay. That living together, they've got this common law. Well, we've been together 7 years and it's okay. No, you've been in sin and fornication for the last 7 years. Well, we prayed to God and said, Lord, marry us. Good. Then you should have he would have sent you under someone that's anointed by the Lord to marry you. Hallelujah. We don't need to go any further than that. He who walks in darkness, walks in sin, walks in the flesh, loves the ways of the world, practices the ways of the world. Listen, you don't have to practice all the ways of the world to sin. James 4. James 4, verse 1. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for what? Pleasure that what? War in your members. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, the ways of the world is a shake up. We've been there. Didn't know the truth. But once you know the truth, hello. Verse 5, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns what? Jealously. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the what? Humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from. So if you're not submitting to God, can you resist the devil? No. You can't. No, you can't. So is submitting to God repenting? Yes. Yes, it is. In Galatians 5, what's the works of the flesh? Well, let's expose them. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. True repentance is to what? Turn away. Turn away. Well, such and such doesn't. Nothing's happened to them. Not yet. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. You know, people don't realize that selfish ambitions is works of the flesh, meaning you're going to do it your way and not God's way. I'm going to do it the way I feel, the way I believe. Selfish ambitions. You know, these are individuals that may pray but don't obey. Oh, Lord, let this be your will. Okay, good. Oh, Lord, I hope this is your will. Listen, if you're hoping it's his will, don't do it. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries and the like, and the like, and the like, and the like. People go, oh, it's not in the Word. I can do this. Let me see, Roxy's aren't in here. I can take those. I don't even see marijuana in here. Whoa. Doesn't say anything about a one-night stand, does it? Let's see here. Yeah. Just as I also told you in time past that those who practice such things will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God, because they're not about kingdom business. They're about self business. Kingdom business is true repentance. Self business is a lie. James 1. Hallelujah. So anyone who truly isn't about the kingdom business, you must be careful, because they will lie. And they will lie to justify. Right to your face. They have a lot of butt ministry. But. And lie. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who what? Chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. What's temptation trying to do? Get you to sin. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. When he's been what? Approved. When you begin to endure, when you begin to overcome, you will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Again, if you say you love him, but you practice darkness, and you think that you can get away with certain things because you say you love him, that's only mouth service. There's a difference between mouth service and heart service. There's people that say all kinds of things. Man, they can quote scriptures, and they can do all kinds. People pray in the Spirit, all kinds of stuff. And then as soon as they're somewhere else, they begin to talk about others. They mudsling, backslide, and everything else. Because there's truly not a heart of repentance. True repentance always is self-examining oneself, whether they are living in the truth and in honesty. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that unrighteous, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicator, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. For such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be put or brought under the power of any. Powerful. So, you know, homosexuals, lesbians, all of these, bisexual, whatever, fornication, anything to that degree, says anyone who practices such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something. Demons don't inherit the kingdom of God. So because a person is their host, they may be the hostess for the mostest, because of all the ungodly practices or the lies and deceptions. But because if they choose to obey them, they will not enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Because they're still practicing sin. But if they turn from it, will they inherit the kingdom of God? Yes, because they are in true repentance. True repentance. If an individual is in pornography, if an individual is in the area of extortions and lying for self-gain, all of those areas are open doors of demonic activity. And that individual, until he repents or she repents and turns from it, then is forgiven. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 7, in verse 8, for even if I made you sorry, with my letter, I did not regret it. Paul sends a letter and says, listen, I know this letter grieved you, but too bad. Here it is. I'm going to speak the truth. He says, I did not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Ah. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to what? Repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. In other words, the ways of the world. Anybody ever do something and get caught? Don't raise your hands. Every one of us has. There was a point, though, at some time you didn't care. But then there was a point that you got, you know what, I'm sorry. I know in addiction, sometimes you keep doing what you're doing until you do get caught, because you know that you can't stop what you're doing until you get caught. There were times when my thought was, man, I need to go to jail because I can't get out of this. I need to do something. Because God heard my prayer. Hallelujah. Didn't know I was already in jail before I got there. But hallelujah. So godly sorrow leads to repentance and to salvation. In Hebrews 10:26. There is not a true repentance in America. People are doing whatever they feel like. And that's Satan's doctrine. Do what I feel like. Even in the body of Christ, there are still people that are doing what they feel like. They don't want to be submissive to authority. It's God's government that's here on earth in the body of Christ. There is submission. Submitting to God's authority. It is not an area of control. It's an area of accountability. It's an area of building credibility. You're building references. Amen? Even when you come through the discipleship house or you're doing whatever, you are building credibility and reference. Amen? Hebrews 10:26. For if we what? If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Hello. There's no more covering, right? So you lied. Well, I did it to protect myself. Did you repent? Well, will God forgive me? Yeah. If you turn from it. We're to expose the hidden things of shame. Well, if you repent, God will forgive you. You confess your sin. He forgives you. Now, don't keep lying about it. Well, God forgave me. I guess I can do it again. No. Now you confess it. Hello. Praise God. Verse 27. So if you sin willfully and you don't repent, you're not under the blood, are you? But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Now you become an adversary. Now you're an enemy of God. He's not your enemy. But when you're in that condition, he seems to be your enemy. Because the voice of the stranger will do everything he can to keep you from coming back to the kingdom and being honest and repenting. He puts fear there too. What will people think? My gosh, well, I had such a good scheme going on. What will people think? Man, I was so religious. I mean, I was so right. I mean, I was so holy. Well, I was, I looked really good. My goodness, what will people think now? What am I going to do? Repent. Repent. Turn from it. Because it's you and God. That's it. And be honest. Who cares what people think? In fact, you'll gain respect because you exposed it. Amen. Expose your enemies. You know, in the world, somebody sees something and they go, oh, I don't want to. Even the world has a jailhouse mentality, I'm going to tell you. You don't have to be in jail to have a jailhouse mentality. I've been there, associated with individuals, in and out of jail myself. But there was that tendency to, well, okay. But let me tell you something, in the kingdom of God, it's different. You're not exposing your brother or your sister. You're exposing the enemy in someone's life. See, but the carnal mind thinks, oh my God, they're going to hate me. They should turn around and hug you and say, thank you for exposing me. Thank you. Why? Because you didn't expose the individual. You exposed the enemy using that individual. And that's kingdom business. The other way is carnal business. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to go around and look for everybody's dirty laundry, all right? Hebrews 12, and verse 14. Let's speak it together. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which... Okay, let's say it again. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was what? Rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. In other words, he sold his birthright. He sold his inheritance for the joy of sin. Wow. So he wasn't really willing to turn. What he was crying for was his birthright. But he wasn't willing to repent for what he did. Amen? 2 Corinthians 12. You know, do you ever consider the, you know, in circumstances of the world and decisions that are about to be made and so forth. And again, people make mistakes. It doesn't mean you sold your birthright. Has everybody got it? You just repent. Lord, forgive me. But there are areas where people are making some true hardcore decisions in selling their birthright. They are actually selling their inheritance, giving up eternal life for a temporary pleasure of sin. That's amazing. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. Let's speak it together. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you in such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest these be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Paul was writing a letter to the believers. Amen. Go to Revelation. In Revelation, it talks many, almost every single letter of Revelation to the churches was associated with repentance. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse 2, Jesus says, I know your works, your labor, your patience. Is everybody there? I know your works, your labor, your patience. And that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from which you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you what? Repent. Now, that sounded very good in the beginning, didn't it? But see, Jesus said, listen, it's not about your works. You have left me for your works. In verse 20, start at 19, it says again, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Wow. Sounds really good. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to what? Repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I cast her into the sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they what? Repent of their deeds. Now, the Bible says this. You sin if you lust with someone. See, you don't have to get in bed with that person to sin. You lust for that person. Amen? It's considered sin. So that's why it's important that we repent for our thoughts. Or forgive me for my thoughts. In fact, there's something I'd like us to write down tonight so that we can grab hold of this in a greater way. Amen? In Revelation chapter 9, in verse 20, and God will bring judgment on the earth. He will bring His wrath on the earth. And it says that there will be plagues that will destroy a third of mankind. In verse 20 it says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not what? Repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which cannot neither see nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders and their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And I want to close at 2 Timothy chapter 2. True repentance. You must be honest. Hallelujah. In verse 21, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, and prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. So you want to hang with people that their heart is pure, right? You don't want to hang with people whose heart's not pure. The Bible even tells us to separate yourself from a brother that's a believer or a sister whose heart's not pure. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them what? Repentance, that they may what? Know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. True repentance. I'm going to share a couple of things, and I'm going to ask you to write them down. As we repent, there's things that we need to look for. We need to repent not only for our sins, transgressions, and iniquities, which is a broad area. Sin is associated with the presence of darkness and thoughts. Transgressions is the act, and iniquities is inherited. Sins of inheritance. So we want to repent for our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. Okay? We want to repent for our thoughts, our words. We want to repent for the sins of our thoughts, our words, our eyes, our ears, our heart. Our emotions, imaginations, attitudes, motives, desires. These are all sins of these. Has everybody got it? Our hands, our feet. Our dreams, our visions, our lips. We want to repent for unfulfilled vows. Works of the flesh and selfish ambitions. False agreements with the enemy, because you may have agreed upon something you didn't even know. Of course, you want to repent for the sins of your spouse, your children. Your family. Your fellowship. Staff, flock, students, disciples, you know. Sins of the body of Christ, America and Israel. And don't ask me to repeat them. Get the CD. Or go to eternallibrary.org. Hallelujah. So, Lord, does everybody got it? Is everybody okay? Vitally important. We are at a critical time now to keep clean. Amen. Better to be clean than damned. So you may lose a few friends. Who cares? So people might not agree with you. Too bad. It's between you and God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed that has been imparted in us grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, again, we repent for the sins of America, for the body of Christ, and the sins of Israel. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. And to you be all the glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Grow for it.